Well, good morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so glad you're here joining us. I got a question I want to pose to you really quick. I want you to think of a time when you were at your busiest moment. Maybe it was recently, maybe it was during the holidays, maybe it was on Friday during Black Friday shopping. I want you to think about that. If you need to, write it down so you can write it down as a memory. For me, the busiest that I have ever been since I can remember was about 4 months ago. Now, 4 months ago, within a three-week period, I had three life-changing events that took place in my life. And one of them was I moved out of my bachelor pad into an apartment where my wife and I were going to move into once we got married. The next thing was I got a new position here at the church. And for any of you that get a new position anywhere or a new job somewhere, I mean, you just know it's fun, it's exciting, but you know, there's some anxieties that can come with that as well. And then thirdly, probably the biggest one for me was I got married. Yes, it is awesome. It's been incredible. I actually have a picture of me and my wife. This is my wife, Samantha. She's beautiful, so you can tell that I really married up, which is incredible. So anyways, through this 3 weeks, I have a public confession where I need to say I'm sorry because I think I lied to some of you. In the lobby here, you would ask me during that time, Seth, how are you doing? And I would put a big smile on my face and I would say, I'm fine. I'm doing great. Things are awesome. Because I didn't really realize in that 3 weeks, I was exhausted. I've been running on adrenaline for those 3 weeks all the way up until I got married. And you know, weddings are exciting and I'm running on adrenaline at my wedding day. And so my wife and I, we get married and we got about 1 hour of sleep. We moved into our apartment that night. We slept for about an hour because we had to make it up to Detroit to get to the airport so we could get on our plane at 5 a.m. to fly to Jamaica where we were going to spend a week together as a newlywed couple. And so anyways, I'm driving. I'm still running off adrenaline in this case. And as I'm driving up 75 to Detroit Airport, I'm doing one of these numbers on the road. Yes, I hit the rubble strip. My wife, I think, who saved my life at the time, she nudges me. She's like, Seth, are you okay? And again, I needed to apologize to her too because I lied to her. And I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm great. Things are good. And so we make it to the airport. We land in Jamaica. We're all safe. We're newlyweds. And I'm thinking, we get to the resort. And I'm thinking, just like any newly married guy, it's our first night of the honeymoon, our first day. I have all of these expectations of what it's going to look like. And our first day, we did a lot of sleeping together. Now, not what you're thinking, not that sleeping. I'm talking like we were sprawled out, ugly sleeping on the bed, snoring, drooling. I mean, both of us, we sleep talk, we've been told that. I'm sure we were probably talking to each other, but like it was incredible. That first day was incredible. We woke up that second day and we were just both like, wow, it dawned on us. Didn't realize how busy, how exhausted we were. Because the truth is, we're all busy. Every single one of us is busy. In the lobby, I have conversations with some of you. And when I ask, hey, how are you doing? The three responses that I typically get are, I'm fine, I'm tired, and the one I've been hearing a lot the most lately is, I'm busy, because we all are. We live in 2018, and this is probably the most convenient time as humans we have ever had, we've ever experienced. I mean, think about it. We have Kroger click list. You can click online your groceries of what you want, and you don't even have to go into the grocery store anymore. You can go in, you can pick up your groceries at a nice reserved parking spot. They bring them out to you, and you get to go home and eat your food. We have Amazon 2-day shipping where you can order a package from anywhere across the world, and in 2 days, it is on your doorstep. And then also, I know that Amazon is working with drones right now of where you can order a package, and within 30 minutes, a drone will drop your package off to your front door. It's insane. I mean, think about if we went 100 years back in 1918 and we told the people that lived then, like, what we have, they'd be like, are you kidding me? Like, that's amazing. Your automobile, you have dishwashers, you have washers, you have dryers, you have all these things that help make life convenient. Another thing is we can commit to a lot of different things. You know, for example, we have Netflix. I was looking in the newspaper the other day, and there were 75 community events going on right here in South Toledo and in the surrounding area where you could commit to any one of those events. And for those of you that have small kids, you know that you commit to travel ball, high school ball, T-ball, maybe it's dance, recital, so you're rushing your family members, your kids back and forth to each one of those things. And then on top of it, everybody wants our time. You have coworkers that want to grab coffee or lunch. You have a conference call you need to be at. You have family members. You have a neighbor, a friend, people. They demand our time because we're all busy. We've been diving in this past few weeks, as you heard Ben talk about, where we've been in this series called Pause, where we are intentionally taking time to allow God to interrupt our daily lives. The verse that we've been looking at is Psalms 26:10. It's this: "Be still and know that I am God." And today, I would love to talk about pausing the hustle. And now, it's not because the hustle is bad. There's nothing wrong with the hustle. But if we intentionally don't take time to pause the hustle, it's going to undermine who we are and who God created us to be. If there's one thing that you can take home with you here today, one thing that you can hopefully learn today. Now, this isn't a church thing. This isn't a Christian thing. This is a thing. And here it is. To be your best, pause and rest. To be your best, pause and rest. If you want to write that down in your notes, you can write that down. This is what we're going to be discussing here today, because I believe that no matter who you are, no matter what you believe, what your background is, I think that we all want to live a life that matters. A life where we have fulfilling relationships, where we have a life where we can make a difference, a life where we can step in and we can do something for some people. I think that that's what we want to live. And if we don't pause the hustle, we need to learn, each and every one of us needs to learn this: to be your best, pause, and rest. And so right now, we're going to take a moment to pause, to allow God to interrupt what we are doing. And I would love to pray for each and every one of us here in this moment. So would you pray with me? Well, God, I want to thank you. First and foremost, you are awesome. I thank you for this topic that we are going to discuss here today. And God, I just pray, we're all walking in right now with distractions around us that we're coming in with, things that are on our minds that are taking over, whatever that is. And so, God, I just pray that we can just take about 20 minutes to set those distractions aside, to focus on what it is that myself and here in this congregation of what we're going to learn today, God, as we unpack to be your best, pause and rest. And so I just pray, God, be with me, use me. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I am honored, first and foremost, to be speaking this weekend. It's incredible. And I can't think of a better topic coming out of Thanksgiving break. I mean, think about it. What's the goal of Thanksgiving? It's to rest. It's to pause. It's to take some time to be with family, with friends, to relax, watch football. But sometimes what it can turn into is it can turn into what was meant to be stress-free, stressful. You know, we're running from family to family. Not only are we running, I don't know how much running happens on Thanksgiving, but like, you know, we're full, we're very uncomfortable because we're going from meal to meal to each family. There's football on, whether our team won or they didn't, so that can become stressful. We're disengaged because of the distractions that are going on around us, or maybe we don't get along so much with family members. Did I just say that in church? I did. But it's true. But then on the other hand, there are some of you who did rest. Some of you were able to relax and to separate. And you know the importance and the power of that rest. You feel rejuvenated and you're hyped up, you're back. Because, I mean, think about it. What do we need to rest from? Usually, rest we need from because we're tired. And in this particular area where I'm going to be talking about is the work that we do. Now, all of our work looks different. It's completely different. If I asked you what your work was, it looks different than mine and so on and so forth. But our work is important, but we need to learn how to pause and rest. And actually, we see how work was important from the very beginning. God demonstrated work. I'm going to talk about in Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to fly through creation of what he did and how he did work. If you want to find it, it's in the full chapter of Genesis 1. You can read it on your other time or your own time, whatever. But here's what we see. We see on day 1, God creates light and darkness. Day 2, God creates the sky. Day 3, he creates the land and the seas, and he says it was good. Day 4, God creates the sun, the moon, and the stars, and he said it was good. Day 5, God creates the fish and the flying creatures, and he said it was good. I could do without mosquitoes, but that's okay. And then day 6, we enter into, he creates land animals, and he says, it was good. And then also on day six, he creates Adam and Eve in his own image. I love this because after he creates Adam and Eve in his own image, what does he do? He gives us two things to do. He gives us work. He says, Adam and Eve, I give you all of this that I created. Now go. I give you all domain. Name the animals. Cultivate the land. And then the other commandment he gives, in a sense, a commandment or whatever he gives them, he says, and also, Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. And in that moment, Adam turns to Eve. He looks back at God, and he says, amen, brother. Now, that's not in Scripture. I made that up. Don't quote me on that. I would like to think he thought that, but it's okay. And so, as we know, there's 7 days in a week, right? There's not six. So what did God do with the seventh day? Let's take a look at, as we continue in Genesis 2. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. So he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all of his work of creation. I love this, because we see this, where God creates, he works, and then he rests. Creation isn't complete without rest. It's this whole new rooting system in the God, the divine, who rests. It's not that God is tired. It's not that he needed to rest, but he set the example for all of us of the importance of why we need to rest. I love it. It says, God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy. And so there's this relationship between work and rest, between do and don't do, between create and cease. And I believe for us as humans, we have been struggling with this issue because we need to live in the rhythm of working and resting. But we still struggle. All of us, probably in some extent, to some degree, if we're honest with ourselves, we struggle with rest. And as we all, maybe some of us don't know, some of us do know, but then Adam and Eve, what happens shortly after God creates the seventh day? Adam and Eve, they end up sinning and disobeying God. And so then God's redemptive plan for humanity, for you and for me, because again, remember, God said it was very good when he created Adam and Eve. And so we have been at the heart of God ever since the beginning. So God's redemptive plan is in full effect, in full swing, and he chooses these people, this group of people called the Israelites. And so the Israelites have fallen on some hard times, and they were under the arms of the Egyptians, and they were actually slaves to the Egyptians. And so they were working day in and day out for generation after generation. This happened for 400 years. 400 years. That is 158 years longer than the United States has existed. And so after generation, the only thing that they knew was to work. Sun up to sun down. They didn't get breaks. They didn't get Thanksgiving break, Christmas break, summer break, spring break, PTO, vacation, sick days, nothing. The only thing that the Israelites ever knew was to work. And so then a little bit later, after 400 years, God frees the Israelites out of Egypt through Moses, and they leave, and they find this physical freedom that God provides. So this is new. They're not slaves anymore. They're not told they have to work every single day. They still have to work, but not to a point to where they have to work every single day. They get to work on their own, not because somebody has been telling them to. And so after this, God, what does he give them? Because this is foreign. This is foreign to the Israelites, of being free, of physically free. God gives them the Ten Commandments. I know, some of you are thinking, this is why I don't go to church. I don't believe in God, because God just wants to give me a bunch of rules, regulations of what I can, what I can't do, of how I can live my life, how I can't live my life. And I would completely 100% agree with you. Because the thing is, if you don't have a relationship with the rule giver, then there's no need to respect the rule. There's no need to follow the rule. Because when you know the rule giver is for you, you respect and you obey the rule. In other words, rules without relationship lead to rebellion. Parents, you know this. You have small children. You tell them not to touch a hot stove because you understand the pain that it will cause if they do so. And so once you know the rule giver is for you, therefore you will obey the rule. And so the Israelites were given this relationship. They were given the Ten Commandments, something to provide them freedom, not enslavement, but to provide them freedom from their enslavement. And then what happens? They hear these Ten Commandments. This is foreign to them. They've never heard of anything like this before because the only thing that they knew in this context was to work. That was it. And I believe, as the Israelites have struggled through this, work and rest, here 2018, thousands of years later, we still struggle with this, the tension of work and rest. Because I believe in order for us, in order for the Israelites to experience true rest, true freedom, we need to be at our best. And in order to be at our best, we need to pause and rest. And so we see in Genesis, the God who creates, the God who works, the God who rests, creates Adam and Eve in his own image, humans, you and I, and he says, we are very good, it is very good. And then we go into Exodus, where Exodus explains this brand new thing, something foreign to these Israelites, or what they're about to hear, what they're about to learn. And so God commands this to them. Here's what we pick up in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. He says, to remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So this is completely night and day for the Israelites. Again, this would be like our forefathers coming and living with us in 2018 and trying to blend in with society, looking around. We have cell phones, technology, dishwashers, the automobile, grocery stores where you could go into a grocery store and you have your produce, your dairy, your meats. Like, that would be foreign to our forefathers. The same thing with the Israelites in this moment. This is foreign to them. You want me to take a day off? What does that mean? I don't even know what that looks like. And here, he says, remember to observe the Sabbath. The Sabbath means to stop. That word means to cease. It means to rest. And by keeping it holy, what God is telling the Israelites here is you need to keep it holy. You need to set it aside. You need to set it apart. This is something you need to galvanize. You need to protect. So set it apart. It's holy. And so we go on and we continue in verse 9. And he says, you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. It is set apart. It is set apart for us to be reminded, for the Israelites to be reminded that that seventh day is holy. It's something to protect, again, to galvanize. I love it. This day off was foreign to them. They didn't understand this. They couldn't grasp this. And even though the Israelites couldn't grasp this, again, I think we struggle with this too. I mean, it's almost like if you go to prison, let's just say you were born in 1990. Some of you weren't even born. I was 2 at the time. But you go into prison in 1990 and you get out in 2018. In 28 years, just the way that society has changed. That's the same thing with these Israelites. They need to figure out how to blend back in, how to learn how to rest, and so do we here today in 2018. And so here at Cedar Creek, our creative pastors, our campus pastors, we have come up with an acronym for us to use to where we could find physical freedom and how we are able to rest. And so we're going to break down the word rest, R-E-S-T, and I'm going to give you some practical ways of how you and I can find rest. So if you have your notes, pull them out. Let's get ready to learn together. First, we're going to start with the R. How can I learn to pause and rest? To release. Release. Release is letting go of the things that you can change. Not things that you can change, but letting go of the things that you can control. We hear, you got to let go of the things that you can't control, and that is true, but we can also let go of the things that we can control. So when you're at work, you can control your work. When you're at home, you can control your home, the relationships that you have there. My grandfather, he was a successful small business owner here in South Toledo. And he had a place, it was called Wolfert's Five Star. It was a grocery store and a butcher shop off of Airport Highway. And my grandfather, he really believed in the setting a day aside. He would be open from Monday through Saturday, and he would close his doors on Sunday to give himself some time off, but also his employees. And some business owners or some people in the neighborhood would ask my grandfather, and they would say, man, why don't you open up on Sundays? You can make so much more of a revenue on that Sunday. Like, you can make more money. And my grandfather would say, if I can't make a living off of six, the seventh day isn't going to make a difference. Because my grandfather, he truly believed in setting a day aside throughout the week. And if you're a small business owner, I'm not saying you need to close your doors for a day of the week. That's not what I'm saying. But the principle of keeping it holy, of having that Sabbath. And I truly believe that God blessed my grandfather's business. I mean, 20 years they've had their doors closed. And in the lobby, I've had some conversations. I just had a conversation with Tim and Becky Strand a couple weeks ago. And some of you, about how Wolfert's was a blessing to you. You loved to shop there and you felt at home. And so, in other words, I just think God truly blessed that principle of having that day off. And he would say something like this: if God can provide more in 6 days than I can provide on my own in seven. And I think that's a principle that we could all live by, is by setting that day aside, of keeping it holy. The University of Illinois actually gave us some practical steps of what rest can do for you and for our lives. If we have adequate rest, it adds years to your life. The second thing it does is it helps you focus better at work when you take time off regularly. And the third thing is you can completely withdraw from work regularly. It reduces the likelihood of heart disease, which heart disease is the number one killer here in America. And if we can actually find rest and release the things that we can control, it can add years to our life, it helps us focus better, and it helps us to be able to not get heart disease, which is amazing. But how does this look? What are some of the things that we have control over? And I put a few things together on a list that I think we could all use, that I can use myself. The first thing, we can shut off our phones. During your day of work, maybe you can shut your phone off for 15 minutes to create some margin in your life, some white noise where you can just separate yourself from your phones, from social media. On Apple and Android, we have these things, it's called screen limits, where it limits the time that you can have on your phone every single day. So we can release the control of our phone. Next thing is, man, if you don't like to do dishes on your day off, even if you have a dishwasher, buy some paper plates, some plasticware, and instead of doing dishes, you can just throw away your plates when you're done. You don't have to wash anything. I hate doing dishes, and I have a dishwasher. Maybe I'm lazy, I don't know, but like you can even do that. Using paper plates and napkins and all that good stuff, you can throw away. Third, you can leave your laundry unfolded. Yeah. Some of you are like, gosh, amen, brother. Amen. And you know, and that's, you can, if you don't like to do laundry, leave it unfolded. If you need to do laundry, do it the night before, so on your day off, you don't have to stress and worry about doing laundry. Don't allow something so small to stress you out. And lastly, this is for some of you. I know a lot of us, in a way, we like to have checklists where we can check off the things that we're doing throughout our day. You can have an unfinished to-do list. Some of you, you may come back after that. Maybe you won't. But you can have an unfinished to-do list. Your to-do list will be there tomorrow. If it's incomplete, that is okay. That will be okay. And so those are some of the things that we can do and we can use to release control. The things that we can control. And the passage continues in Exodus, which will lead us to our E. And let's see what God says in this. Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. He continues and he says, on that day, no one in your household may do any work. Now in this moment, the Israelites, so he's speaking to the Israelites, they live together, they work together. So God is saying, when you're working, yes, work together. When you're off on that seventh day, keep it holy, keep it relationally, you do it together. You build this community together. And so for us, what does this look like? The E, it stands for engage relationally. We need to engage relationally. What does that look like? It means to spend time with the people that need your best. So for you, who needs your best? What does that look like? Maybe for you, it's your wife, it's your husband, it's your kids, it's your home, it's your dogs, pet, I don't know, your pets, whoever's at home, who needs your best? When you're at work, your work needs your best. When you're at home, your home needs your best. I struggle with this as a newlywed, because some days, man, I could come home after a pretty hard day, and I just want to go home, and I want to veg out. I believe men, we have this thing called a nothing box. You might know what I'm talking about, and I just want to go and veg and sit in that nothing box after I get home from a long day, and I don't want to do anything. But the problem is, but it's not a problem, is I have a wife at home who needs me, And I need to engage relationally. I need to lean into that relationship and build that relationship with my wife, even though I have that temptation of just wanting to sit, play games, or read a book, or do something where I can just veg out. So what we need to do is we need to lean in and we need to engage relationally, because it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen organically. We need to plan it and we need to prepare it, because in order to be our best, we need to pause and we need to rest. So some simple things that we can do to engage relationally, maybe for you, if you have small kids, you can read them a bedtime story. Sit down and have a little night where you can read together, spend some time together. Maybe it's going to dinner or having dinner with your family around the table after a long day. I know we just had Thanksgiving. Some of us spent some time with our friends and our family. Maybe it's looking forward to going to a lunch with a coworker, a family member, a friend, or going to one of your favorite coffee shops to where you can engage relationally. Maybe for you, it's, if you're like me, I like to play Fortnite. I like to team up with my buddies. We play Fortnite. PUBG, whatever you like to do, maybe you can get together and you can link up with some friends, spend some time, not too much time, but you can spend a little bit of time engaging relationally by doing stuff like that. Those are some practical ways that we can lean into the relationships of the people that need our best. So the next one, as we lean into the S, we have release, we have engage, and the third one is to savor. You can write that down in your notes. Ecclesiastes 6:9 says this: enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind. I love that verse. It's so simple. So in other words, we need to enjoy each moment. That's how we can savor. You can write that down. Enjoy each moment. Well, how do we do that? I think for some of us, it takes preparation. I think how we can enjoy each moment practically, it takes preparation. Have something to look forward to every single day. Maybe for you, it's me time. I know it sounds selfish, but it's real. So maybe for you, it's driving in or from work, and you like to listen to the podcast, the audiobook, some music, or maybe you like it to be silent, and you can have yourself a little bit of me time. Maybe it's looking forward to going to a coffee shop and enjoying an espresso or a cup of coffee, or looking forward to your lunch break where you can go out and you can enjoy a lunch at one of your favorite restaurants. Have yourself some me time. Maybe it's being invited when you come home. You got a happy family or a kids or a wife or a husband or your pets that are welcoming you at home. Maybe you look forward to that me time as you get to walk through your door after a long day of work and you have your family there to greet you and to be there, whatever that looks like. I think another way for this of how we can savor and enjoy each moment is by repetition. By repetition, by enjoying it more than once. You want to enjoy it more than once. So for example, maybe you need to get a journal or write a fun memory that you have or that you experience into your notes on your phone. Something that you can use to look back to. My parents have a 5-year journal where it's a gratitude journal that they use on Thanksgiving. And so this past Thursday, we were writing the things that we are grateful for this year. But the fun part was being able to look back a few years ago, of being able to read some of the gratitude list that my grandparents and some other family members wrote on there that are no longer with us. And so we can enjoy the moment. Yes, we enjoyed it then a few years ago, but being able to go back and talk about it here today, we're savoring that moment. So write it down somewhere. Another thing you can do is by sharing it with others. If something good happens, send a text, send a phone call, share it with a family member, a friend. You can talk about it and you can relive that experience by sharing it with others. Don't just keep it in for yourself. And then the last thing that we can do practically of what this looks like is we can take a mental snapshot. Now, I got married, my wife and I, Sam, Steve Hootmacher, he's one of our elders here at the church, and he performed our ceremony for us. And Steve, he pulled me aside. We call him Hootie around here. He pulled me aside, and he said, Seth, he said, dude, this day is going to go by very fast. You're not going to remember much of it. It's going to go quicker than you ever expected. So break off from the crowd. Get away for a moment and take a mental snapshot. Enjoy. Savor this moment. And so what we could do, we could take a mental snapshot. Those are the things that we are able to do. And then as we're getting ready to wrap this up, it leads us into our T. We have release, engage, savor, and all of those are great for physical rest. Everything that I just provided there to help, hopefully help you, is all about physical rest. And the thing about physical rest is I believe that we can have physical rest and it will set us up for spiritual rest. But no amount of physical rest can satisfy our soul for the spiritual rest that each and every one of us needs. And that leads us to T, trust. To be certain that God will provide. So shortly after the Sabbath, where God gives the Ten Commandments, he offers the Sabbath to the Israelites. We fast forward a little bit out of the Old Testament, thousands of years later into the New Testament, into the New Covenant, where we are introduced to another man. His name is Jesus. And in this moment, in this context, Jesus is there with a crowd of people, because people would follow him, people that didn't even like him, people that didn't even believe in the same thing he believed in, they would follow him. Whether they heard about him because of the miracles he performed, or maybe they just heard about the stories that were taking place, or maybe they were eyewitness accounts. And so in this moment, Jesus had a crowd of people with him, and he was talking to the Pharisees at this time. And the Pharisees were the religious leaders, and they made the Sabbath into something that was a burdensome for the people, for the people there at that time. And Jesus came, and simply he just said to them and corrected them, and he said, I didn't create the Sabbath to be a burden to people. I didn't create the Sabbath for people to be the Sabbath, but for people. It's to benefit people. And Jesus goes on even a little bit further, and he says, actually, I am the Sabbath. He goes, I am rest. And we pick up this story of what Jesus says from here on out. Here's what he says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I love the simplicity of this message. He says, come to me. It's striking. It's refreshing. It's simplistic. It's not a five-step plan. It's not a list of rules. It's not a practical, here's a practical plan of where you can find physical freedom. No, it's simple. He says, come to me. Why? Because he will provide rest. He gives us rest. And then he goes on and he says, take my yoke upon you. Well, what is a yoke? We're not talking about eggs here. We're not talking about if you like them over easy or not. Jesus is talking about something that oxen would wear, as you'll see this picture here behind us. And this would be placed on the oxen, where two oxen would be able to pull something heavy together in sync. And what Jesus is saying, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. You don't have to do this alone. Quit trying to figure it out. Quit trying to carry this burden that you aren't meant to carry. Let me help you. Some of us may say, well, what is Jesus' yoke? Why should we do that? And here's what he says. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I love it. It's such a promise that he gives. Why should we go to Jesus? Because he is humble and he is gentle. Jesus, the Son of God, fully divine, fully human, had all the right to be arrogant and prideful because he was perfect, but he wasn't. He came to serve and not be served. The God of the universe came to serve and not be served, people like us. But he continues. He doesn't stop there. Here's where he goes. He goes, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. It's easy to bear, and the burden is light. And in this moment, Jesus is offering this yoke exchange, where he is saying, you don't need to carry your bitterness, your unforgiveness, the relationship that you don't think is going to get any better, a marriage that may be falling apart, where you're wondering where the money is going to come from to pay this bill. No, he's saying it is easy to bear. The burden is light. And Jesus actually already did a yoke exchange. He took our sins. He took those inadequacies. He took our iniquities, and he put them and placed them on himself at the cross. And then Jesus died on the cross, where then he was buried, and in 3 days by the Holy Spirit, he was risen. He has risen. He was raised up by the Holy Spirit, came out victorious, because the burden he has, or the burden is light, and it's easy to bear. And Jesus is sitting here, and he's saying to you, just come to me. Because some of you are walking in here today with things that you weren't meant to carry. Maybe it's an addiction that you don't think the chains are ever going to break off you. You keep going back to the same habit. Maybe it's an unhealthy relationship. Maybe you're trying to find employment and you just can't find any employment. Maybe it's that bitterness, the resentment. Maybe it's you look in the mirror and you don't really understand who the heck you're looking at. Maybe it's the negative thoughts that are continuously flooding your mind about yourself and about other people. And here Jesus' invitation is simple. And he is just saying, come to me. For my yoke is easy. It's light. You don't need to carry this burden. And here today, I know some of you may be carrying that. Because Jesus is offering you this invitation to be at your best. You need to pause and rest in me because no physical amount of rest is going to satisfy your need for spiritual rest. And some of you have never taken that step with Jesus. And if you would like to take that step here today in the quietness of your seat, you can use my words. You can follow me with these words here, and you can say this in the simplest quietness of your heart. If you want, bow your heads and say this with me. God, I've been carrying this far too long. God, you know that I feel like I just have not been able to rest in a very long time. And Lord, your promise, you say, come to me, for your yoke is easy to bear and the burden is light. And God, I don't understand all of that right now, but Lord, I just want to ask you to come into my life, to take this burden that I have, God, because you are humble and you are gentle. And Lord, I ask that you teach me through this because you are gentle at heart so that I can find this rest for my soul. So Lord, come into my life, show me what it means to follow you. In Jesus' name. Now, if you prayed that prayer for your very first time, I want to challenge you and encourage you to tell somebody. Don't hold that in. Have a conversation with one of us before you go. But before you do go, I want to pray for all of us right now. God, I want to thank you for this message of rest. Lord, as we have been struggling with this tension of work and rest our entire lives, ever since the very beginning, I pray that, Lord, that we can find some rest, that we can build some margin in our schedules on a daily basis of where we can get some rest. And ultimately, Lord, I pray that we could spend that time with you as well, where you will satisfy, the only one to satisfy our souls and our need for rest. God, I love this campus. I love this community. I love this church. I thank you for every individual who is here today. God, I just pray that as we step out this week, that we can go in confidently knowing that, God, you want us to pause and rest, because to be at our best, we need to pause and rest. And I pray in all these things in your Son's precious name, Jesus. Amen.